Now. Real people. Real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
There was a study released today from the ESRI. It's hard to say that one, isn't it, real quick? Which highlighted how tough it can be for parents to keep their kids safe online. The research said that parents should be actively involved in setting rules for their kids. They also need to set good examples for themselves. The main focus of this research was that online safety shouldn't be left to blame. In other words, don't be blaming when your daughter or son does something that they shouldn't. Don't be blaming them. Teach them how they should be doing it, in other words. Okay, this kind of got me thinking about online safety in general. Technology is moving so fast. There's new developments all of the time, and it's growing and growing and growing. You don't even know what you're looking at is real anymore. There's now videos going around the UK where they're taking a picture of a kid, and the other kid who'll take the picture is then using AI to create a video of the kid saying something they didn't actually say and then posting it or Snapchatting it or whatever to get the kid into trouble. And it's just that the technology is just moving so quickly. But most people are on some form of social media platform. This could be Instagram, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, but the worst rebranding ever, by the way. Everyone still calls it Twitter. It's a great way of connecting with your friends. It's a great way of staying in touch. It's a great way of putting your opinion out there. It's a great way of having a bit of a platform for, you know, your grievances. However, it can get dangerous when it comes to meeting new people or the freedom to make comments online. And some people post on social media anonymously, so they can say whatever they want and have no name or face attached to their comment. This can be used for catfishing. It can be used for defamation. It can be used for taking people's character. Catfishing, of course, is pretending you're somebody you're not. It can also be used for attacking people online and cyberbullying. On the other hand, having the option to be anonymous can give some people the freedom to express their opinion without being judged, maybe in their job, or attacked. It can also make people feel safer if they don't have their real identity online. For example, there are a lot of people who work within government departments who might feel they have something to say, which is important, and they want to say it publicly. But they won't want to do that if they have to have their identification revealed, or in any shape or form, they need to verify their identification, because that could get them into trouble if they're ever found out. So I want to ask you tonight, do you think social media companies should be obliged to make sure that everybody verifies their identification? Or do you think people should have the right to remain anonymous? At this current time, you have the right to remain anonymous, within reason, I suppose. If you do defame somebody or you do commit a crime online, incitement to violence or whatever it is, the police can, in some cases, track you down by asking Twitter or Facebook to release your IP address. And that won't always lead to you, by the way. They can ask the social media companies for your email address that you use to set up the account. Again, it could be a fake email address. So it doesn't always lead to the person. It's entirely up to you whether you want to use your real email address. You can set up a fake one. You could set it up at an internet cafe using a fake IP address. You can use VPNs. Some people are clever, all that kind of thing. But if you had a situation where Instagram and Facebook and Twitter were forced to say, well, look, if you want to use our service, you have to show us your passport, upload your passport, upload your driver's license or whatever it happens to be. I had to do that actually for Twitter. This was going back before you paid for verification. When they just gave you verification because you were somebody in media, I had to upload my passport, which means they can do it if they want to, but they just don't want to. But should they be forced to do it for everybody? Now, you can still use your name, you know, Mickey's Fairy 123 or whatever it is, and call yourself whatever you want. But underneath that, your real name would be there for the social media company, and your real address and your real date of birth and your real identification, in case you ever said something that was defamatory or you attacked somebody or committed a crime, so they could pass that on to the appropriate departments, let's just say. The number is 087-188-0008. Would you agree with making people responsible by using their real identification online? Let me go to Thomas. Thomas, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Thomas, would it be a good idea or a bad idea? I can see bad and good in this.
Well, from my background, I'm a secondary school teacher. I'm an English and history teacher, but I'm also the head of our SBHE department.
Mm-hmm.
And in SBHE, we talk about cyberbullying. And this year, I'm a first-year tutor, so a group of students I'm working closely with. And we had an incident of bullying online, and the parents ring into the school, and there's the school can't do a whole lot about it. But the students there that are engaging in this online bullying, they have fake accounts set up, so there is no way to trace it. And it does cause so much harm to young people then going back into the school environment, and they're looking around the classroom going, is it him or is it her? Like, who is this that's targeting me online? So I think it is so, so important that people are verified. And you mentioned there even with politicians, like I see at home, we have a fantastic TD in where I'm from. And when she ever puts up a video, you've got people going up, oh, you're a waste of space and all this sort of stuff. But actually, if you nearly look at the people who's on it, they're not even from the area.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Look, I've no problem. And when I say I have no problem, you know, people should avoid doing that kind of stuff, right? And use your head when you post online. But if a politician puts something up and people put up, oh, go away, you idiot, or you're a moron, or you're brutal, or you're shite, I have no problem with that. That's people. That's why they call it common abuse. And if you're a politician, just like you're a talk show host, you have to have a little bit of a thick skin and be used to that kind of stuff. I mean, I've had death threats, Thomas. You know what I mean? Not that that's acceptable, by the way, can I point out? But I've had death threats. But what I'm saying to you is, when it comes to, you know, bullying in school, I think that's really important. You made a really important point. But there is, if some kid is bullying somebody to the point that they're self-harming or they're doing anything, you can go to the guards. The guards can contact Twitter, Meta, whatever it is, and they can find out the IP address of that particular account. Now, that won't always lead to the person, unfortunately. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And like, as you mentioned there, it could be in the forms of internet cafes and all that. Mm. And like, there is that, because again, as an English teacher, I'm on an English teacher's Facebook page, and there is the option to put up an anonymous post. Now, generally, like, what this could be, have an advice with a particular situation. And that, I think, is perfectly acceptable in those regards for that anonymity to be online. Mm. However, as for the most part, I think it's so important that people are held accountable for what
they say.
And like, again, I know in my own area, there's any time that any building goes for sale in the town, it's, oh my God, that's going to be an IPASS centre. And there's so much fear-mongering around it, and there's no evidence or anything behind it being an IPASS centre, but it's people saying, oh, this might be an IPASS centre, then Mary reads and says, oh, someone said that's going to be an IPASS centre, and then we've this sort of media storm around all of these anonymous posts of people saying that their name is Bill 123, when actually it's Paddy down the road that's posting it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, okay, so I see all the good bits that you're pointing out, the reason why we should have no anonymity. But I do see the bad part. So the bad part is, if you've got somebody who's working in a company, you know, a big company with a reputable name, and they want to post something online about, say, bullying in the workplace, then they need to be anonymous. If they want to whistleblow, they need to be anonymous. And that would deter people from making anonymous posts that may be stuff that we should know about. And that's my fear then, that if they don't have that out, you know, because they'd be afraid, people be afraid, if I put up something about my own company, I'll get sued. I'll lose my job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, I completely see where you're coming from, but sometimes I'd wonder, what is the actual benefit in you putting that up online? Like, I know there is times where I say we need whistleblowing, like we've...
I think there is great benefit. I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody puts up online about being raped, right? A girl puts up online about being raped by an individual who's maybe a celebrity, right? Yeah. You say to yourself, okay, what's the benefit of that? And you are right to some degree. It is defamation if it's not true, right? But it then gives other people who see it a chance to come forward who may have the same experience. And then you've got corroborating stories, and then it all comes to light, and then everybody has had an opportunity. Now, I understand, and I'd be the first one to say you shouldn't defame people online, if you know, but something that's not actually true. But if it is true, and other people corroborate the story and say, oh yeah, I was with him 15 years ago, he did the same to me, yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? So I think at that point, those kind of whistleblowing, or I worked for that company 12 years ago, I know the manager you're talking about, yeah, he bullied me as well, or you know what, whatever. People can come together, and they can come out of the woodwork, you know, without actually having their identity revealed.
Exactly. And like, it could maybe be for that, like on a particular Facebook page or Facebook group, as I said, with the teachers group, there is that anonymous option. And like that, every community area has like that if you live in say Drumcondra, there's the Drumcondra social page. If you're in Drogheda, there's the Drogheda Dolls page, whatever it might be. And in those groups, you have that option for to post your post as being anonymous. Whereas, should you be able to just put up a create a Facebook page, put this up, I would be against that. Whereas I am totally in favour of having like that, to continue that culture of having Facebook groups where the people can post stuff, because like that on all these different Facebook groups, there is kind of a community person who set up the group and
yeah, who approves people, yeah.
It. Yeah. And like that, if there is posts that go up that is inciting hate or it's not appropriate.
Yeah, they're removed, they're moderated. Yeah.
Delete it, they moderate it, exactly.
Okay, well hold on for a second, Thomas. Let me go, if I can, first of all to Chris and then I'll come to John. Chris, hi, how are you?
Good night, and yourself?
Good. Chris, would it be fair to demand that the social media companies, or would it be of any benefit, demand that everybody verify their identification?
I think it's a tricky one. I do see the benefit in trying to push that through. The only issue is you need those social media companies to all together. If one company does it or is forced into it, unless it's a worldwide movement.
It's not going to work.
Say
yeah.
In Ireland, I'd say in the EU, they mandated that everyone on social media had to provide, you know, valid ID. But North America, Asia, wherever, they don't mandate that. Then you have all these different systems. So you could set up a VPN, sign up using a Canadian account.
Yep.
And then you're not following the same rules as Facebook.
Yeah, all of a sudden, everybody from Europe will be using a VPN to use an American host. Yeah, I understand that. So it would have to be a worldwide implementation for it to actually have any benefit whatsoever. But would it be of benefit? Would it be of benefit, or could it be a problem? Because the problem I do see with it as well, and what I'm saying to Thomas, I think it could have a chilling effect on free speech. Because a lot of people say stuff that they wouldn't say if they thought people knew who they were.
Exactly. I mean, I can understand both sides. I'm not normally one to sit on the fence, but I can see both sides. People getting bullied online. You know, growing up, if you got bullied, once the school week ended, that was it until Monday again. Now it's 24/7. It's relentless.
Yeah.
So that needs to stop. How? I don't know. When you're talking about social media as well, you're talking, you know, about the big players, Meta, X, even Google to an extent. The issue is, if you have like a forum, would that count as social media? You could set up a forum, you could talk about, you know, what's going on in your local community. Would they have to follow the same rules?
I think so.
And then how would you enforce that?
Well, you enforce it by making people, when they sign up, upload their driver's license or their passport.
Okay, so...
I mean, I had to do it for Twitter, because this is before you paid for the verified accounts. When I had a verified account before that, I had to pay, or not pay, I had to upload my driver's license or passport or something. I can't remember what it was.
For the blue tick?
Yep. This is before you could... Now, from last year, you can pay for a blue tick now and get it. But before that, they just gave you one, but you did have to verify your identification.
But you're a public figure.
Yeah,
that's the difference. If I set up a Twitter account impersonating you today, I could buy a blue tick. You know, so the blue tick is meaningless now. Where before, you only got the tick if you were verified, and because you're a public figure. That was a great system. You knew.
Yeah, I kind of agree. They've made it too easy now. They've made it too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you with your blue tick, we know it's you. There could be 500 accounts, 9,000 accounts with blue ticks. Which one's the real you? So they've completely removed the value of a verified account on that platform.
No, I agree. I agree. They have.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it's tricky. don't ever say it's being implemented for the reasons that I said. But anyone could set up a cheap website that you could post whenever you want. Then would you have to upload your...
Well, you don't have to, but here's the thing. If you create a website tomorrow, a WordPress website, with, say, you know, news stories, and you put up your own news stories, and you allow people to make comments, and somebody makes a comment, you know, that's defamatory, make, say, a comment about me or something, that's defamatory, you can sue them.
You could.
Yep. You can sue the website. So it doesn't really matter who posts on it. The person who sets up the website, which we can find out who set up the website because they have to pay for a server somewhere, they'd be personally responsible.
Would you trust me, some guy that's just set up a website with your passport details or your driver's license?
That's the problem, isn't it? No is the answer.
Right. Right. You could... Google.
Yeah. No, no, I get what you're saying. So why would I even trust X, to be honest with you, or Facebook or anybody else? But right. Do I trust Chris, who I don't even know? And he set up, Chris's room or something like that, and I want to post, but he doesn't let me post unless I upload my driver's license.
You'd be insane, Tate.
I would be insane, too, yeah.
And then what does that mean? That the big players get penalized for being big, and then I can just come along, set up a site, you can post whatever you want, but give me your details first, and then I know who you are. And what if I turn around and blackmail you? Well, I know exactly who you are, you've posted this, of all your personal details. It's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. It's an interesting thought, by the way. Thomas, stay with me, please, if you can. John, hi, how are you? Sorry keeping you so long, John.
No, you're okay, Niall. How you doing, Niall and Radioland? Now, as you know, I am absolutely for free speech today, and anything that goes against the woke society of this country today, I'm fully for it. Now, you did raise a very, very interesting point there about whistleblowers. The fact of the matter is, if you had somebody who had to upload their driving license or their identifications, you know, their name, their address, whatever, the fact of the matter is, take, for instance, the nursing home tobacco that's going on at the moment.
Yep.
We'd never know about it because people would be afraid to report it. Or issues that's going on in the HSC or issues that's going on in government itself today. Of elected government today. So the fact of the matter is, if you had a crackdown on internet companies and people had to upload their, their identity here, there and everywhere, you wouldn't know what's going on because then people would be afraid to do it. So that would be interfering with people's free speech today. And I am totally totally against that today, period. Anonymity all the way. I can't say the word, but you know what I mean?
It is a difficult word to say. Everybody has a problem with the word anonymity.
Yeah, anonymity.
That's the one, yeah. Thomas, sorry, just what John said, I don't disagree with him. If you demand people's identification, it makes people think twice about what they're going to post online. For some people, that's a good thing, but for a lot of people, that's a bad thing. It creates a chilling effect in society when it comes to free speech.
It shut down a free speech, yeah.
Sorry, Thomas.
But like as I mentioned earlier, like there is, as you said there, like with even Facebook groups, the fact that there is that anonymous aspect to it.
But you're not really anonymous because you wouldn't be really anonymous because if you had to verify your Facebook account in the first place, you might be anonymous on the group, but you see your identification is still behind that particular post because you had to give your identification to join in the first place or to go onto Facebook in the first place. Because the point of this is that it would be up to Facebook, it'd be up to X, it'd be up to Instagram, it'd be up to everybody to ask you for your ID before you join. So, only the fact that I'm in media and everybody knows who I am, so I don't really have a choice in the matter. But if I was a Joe Blog, you know, on Twitter, I wouldn't want to be given my passport or my driver's license.
Yeah. Like, I suppose that, like, on the point there of a workplace, like, if there was an issue with a workplace, like, for the summertime, I work for a private company delivering a language to international students, English language. And for the most part, all the staff are great and enthusiastic. And we're lucky enough, we have the same kind of staff returning each year. And I'm in a leadership role in it now. But I remember there in October time, somebody from the camp put up a post about, oh, this is a disorganized place. We were disrespectful to them, dot, 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 dot. And I remember saying to this, like, the leadership team, does anyone remember if we'd any encounters of us being disrespectful to members after that? And genuinely, we couldn't, we were like, we can't think of an incident where that took place. Whereas if that person had of maybe had their name up, I would have contacted them to say, I'm really sorry that you had that experience. If you don't have a chat about it, so that I can ensure that that's
That's you, Thomas. What John is saying is, let's say a nurse in the HSE, she notices wrongdoing.
A whistleblower now.
Yeah, whistleblower. She notices wrongdoing and she wants to put a post up on X saying, you know, I'm a nurse in such and such a hospital. I can tell you now, there's malpractice going on. A woman on the ward died today because she was left waiting too long to get XYZ, whatever. She's never going to be able to do that if she has to reveal her identification because she'll lose her job.
Well, what we could do is if we look at the old-fashioned method, what did we do before we had social media and we would write a letter to the editor of a newspaper But you know what? It gets equal enough coverage, you know. And
no, like, it doesn't really. The letter to the editor. Firstly, you'd be very lucky if the editor picks your letter, because if everybody had to do that, there's only one letter per newspaper, whatever. If you put up a decent post on Twitter, and it goes viral, it gets thousands, and I mean thousands of views. So it gets noticed.
And Niall, can I say this as well? There's another point to this as well. You have the woke agenda attacking internet companies today. That's what it is. It's an attack on free speech in internet companies today. And if I ran an internet company today, I would be putting my two fingers up to the woke agenda today, period.
Are you on social media, John?
No, not so much. No.
You sound very vague about that. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't be on any of the internet companies, but I am watching the Carry On and your 6 o'clock news there, where they're always attacking internet companies left, right and centre. And it's the woke agenda that's always attacking them.
Well, it's the EU or the ESRI, obviously.
Free speech.
Yeah, it's the EU with the Digital Media Services Act, yada, yada, yada.
Free speech.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, Thomas, this all kind of coincides with the fact that we're now talking about free speech laws, which the EU have threatened Ireland that if they don't bring in by the end of July, they're going to fine Ireland for not bringing in hate speech laws. Now, I know I would be conservative and slightly on the right, Thomas, but I know even some of my lefty friends who don't agree with hate speech laws. So we're heading down a rocky road when we're bringing in hate speech laws. We're going to try and censor the internet in some way. By demanding people use their identification. I just think, you know, free speech is very important for a multitude of reasons. Don't get me wrong. It's not nice when people put nasty shit up online. It just isn't. Yeah. And I get that. But maybe that has to be the sacrifice to allow free speech to continue, Thomas.
It's an absolute right, Niall.
Hang on, John. Thomas, sorry, finish what you're saying, Thomas.
Like, if I put on, say, my teacher hat, and when I'm looking at the students in front of me, if anything for like this verification, it's to make sure that even that they're the right age that's online, because from the age of there's 10-year-olds online.
Oh, I know. They're meant to be 13. Yeah, they lie about their age.
They can go on and say that they're 95.
Oh, I know.
And they get onto social media and even very.
I have no objection with verifying the age of children online. Absolutely, yeah. No objection. Yeah. And I think that's a must, right? Because we have an obligation to protect people under the age of 18. We're talking about adults here. So let's stick to the adults for the moment.
But then the question is, how do we ensure that they're that age? Do they have to upload their passport? So if we're asking people to ensure that they're over the age of 13, the 50-year-old would still have to upload.
Well, I remember years ago, my kids had an account on a game called Club Penguin. And this is going back many, many years ago when they were only 11, 12 years of age.
Yeah.
And what they did was, Club Penguin was, they made a parent upload their identification and then verify, you know, tick a box that this is my son, I'm their guardian, and I verify that they're over the age of whatever it is.
Yeah.
So at least that's some way of doing it. Now, let me ask you a question, Thomas. Should I, Niall Boylan, be able to open up a Twitter account, or as some people call them, sock puppet accounts, should I be allowed to open up an account under Joey Blog 901 tonight using a fake email address and a fake phone number or whatever, I don't know, be able to set up an account and then go online and say whatever I want to say, things that I wouldn't be allowed to say because I'm a radio personality. Should I be allowed to do that?
Yes,
the answer.
I'm not entirely comfortable with it, you know.
Why? Maybe I want to whistleblow about the radio business, not that I do, but maybe I'd want to whistleblow about the radio business.
Like, I suppose it can sway public opinion. Like, say for example, there if I'm running as somebody in, say, Social Democrats, and I can get 20 accounts set up under my one email address, all different names, Mary, Pat, Sheila, and every post I put up as Mary, Pat, Sheila, all commenting on it, and then that sort of builds in the algorithm and the whole lot, all these fake people, and sort of using that.
Well, we know politicians do that already. You know, and politicians are buying likes for their posts as well. We all know that. I can tell you people in media who've bought followers.
Yeah, and like that, should we be allowed to do that? You know,
I know one individual who's in media, has a lot of followers, and every time he posts something, he gets maybe one or two likes. But yet he has thousands and thousands of followers. Have a look through his followers. Yoka Mocha from, you know, with no posts, like, and no profile picture. Because they were purchased. They were all bought.
And I like that. Then we talk about, say, the two Johnnies, the catfish story, and how that girl really destroyed a lot of men's lives.
That's right.
So there is, George, it really is a double-edged sword, and it is a great debate.
Okay, but hold on. Let me, John, stay there. Thomas, stay there. Let me bring Kathleen in. Kathleen, hi.
Hello, now.
Hey, Kathleen.
I have two things. Well, I'll go to Facebook because it just came into my mind that you have to give your name and I think you have to a picture. I've been on Facebook that long, I can't remember now. But somebody put my name up and their picture up.
Oh.
So I reported it to Facebook and said that somebody was using my Facebook account. And within 10 minutes, it was closed now.
Okay. Well, that's
so
good.
I was happy with that.
Yeah. People do people do have ways of hacking and stealing other people's accounts. Yeah.
That's wrong. That's so wrong. Mm. I mean, you have to be straight. You know, you have to know where you stand.
Yeah, well, the golden rule is keep changing your passwords. That's what I do.
Okay, right. Oh. Okay. And the other factor is that I used to do a bit of voluntary work and I had to sign a form about data because you're not allowed to, there's a law in something about giving away data. I don't really understand what it means.
Data protection, GDPR, GDPR.
Yeah, you know, so you have to sign that you won't
sell the data.
Of the law, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's only my experience.
GDPR is very good. GDPR in Ireland, actually, we have the strictest GDPR rules in Europe. Which is a good thing to some degree because it means that when you're giving companies information about yourself, they can't sell that to other companies. Well, they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
You know?
And I noticed when you get something, do you agree with that? And it comes up and are you okay for us to share it? So it doesn't bother me.
You have the option. At least you have the choice. I mean, if you're in other countries in the world, you wouldn't even get that choice. They just sell it.
Yeah. You know? But I mean, I think that, you know, it is a wide open now since Facebook, isn't it, now TikTok. Mm.
Are you on any social media, Kathleen, yourself?
I'm on Facebook and I'm obviously on WhatsApp. I don't know if that's...
That doesn't really count. That's more of a messaging service. But in relation to Facebook, do you believe that you should have to verify your account? If Facebook said, you know, we want to see your driver's license or your passport, would you be happy enough to do that?
Well... Yeah, I think I would, I know that they'll be looking after my best interest now.
Mm. Yeah, see, I suppose...
Can I make another point?
Yeah, John, you see, Kathleen makes a good point that by sharing her identification with Facebook, and she obviously trusts them to give them her ID, and that they would be looking after her best interests.
No, the point of the matter is, I disagree. The fact is, anonymity, I can't say the word, is, you know... I have no problem with that. So at the end of the day, this idea of clamping down and you have to give your ID here, there and everywhere, I've no time for any of that. But the point I would like to raise back there is that you said that if Ireland at the end of July doesn't bring in hate speech laws,
yep,
that Ireland's going to be fined by the EU.
Yep.
Since when do the Irish people owe Europe any money for so-called laws or hate speech laws?
Well, the problem for us is we're part of the EU.
Yeah.
Most of our laws come from the EU. They come from directives from the EU. 80% of our legislation, actually.
Irish. I know, European. I don't care about Europe. I don't care about the laws.
I know you don't, but you are European. We voted for it. You didn't vote for it, maybe, but we voted for it. Unless the only way out of that is to vote out of it. Yeah.
Who joined? I remember back when I was...
The Maastricht Treaty.
About the EU.
Yeah,
we
did vote. There was a referendum. It was called the Maastricht Treaty. The Lisbon Treaty.
Oh, the Maastricht. Oh,
the one they ran twice, yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
But did people really understand the way they would nowadays?
I don't believe people fully understood. I think people were just led by politicians who told them this was a great idea. And it didn't work the first time, so they had to go back to the table and change one or two things and bring it back to the people, and they eventually voted for it in the end. But Thomas, can I ask you a question, Thomas? In relation to the free speech laws, just before we get to the break, John has mentioned them quite a lot of times there tonight. And I suppose there is a link between free speech and having to give your identification. You know, Ireland has been told we need to bring in free speech or hate speech legislation by the end of next month, otherwise we get a fine from the EU. Do you agree with hate speech legislation? We've already got hate crime legislation, but do you agree with hate speech legislation?
I suppose in some, like, it has to really be like, how will it be dealt with in the court system? And I think that's where you get into the nuts and bolts of it. Like, you know, like when we take in legislations like this, when they do appear in the courts, barristers and the judges make the decisions on it, on how it actually kind of unfolds and really impacts on the country. So,
well, who decides what's hate? If I want to put up a post online tomorrow saying I hate John. He's a proper, you know what? You know what I mean? That's hate. So who decides and defines what hate is?
Again, it's like that'll be in the realm of the courts.
Yeah, but you can't have that in the realm of the courts, because here's the thing. Let's say I put up something tomorrow. And I put up a post online saying, I don't know, I despise John. I hate all Christians. I think they're all mad. All right, I'm just saying this for principle of the argument, right?
Yeah.
And John gets the hump and says, no, that's hate speech against Christians and against me personally. I'm taking a case down to the Garda Síochána. Garda Síochána dragged me in, want a statement off you, Mr. Boylan. Give them a statement, and they say, we're going to have to pass this on to the DPP. DPP says, okay, well, you did say you hated him. You did say you hated Christians. That's hate speech. We let the court decide. So now I lose my job because I've just been charged under the hate speech legislation. I'd probably lose my job. I have to wait for a year for it to go through the courts. My character will be all over the papers. Niall Boylan charged under hate speech legislation. And I'll be dragged through the courts. And I might be just found not guilty by a jury because they decide it's not hate speech. But that's a bit too late then, isn't it? My livelihood, my life has been destroyed. Because John...
You know what? I think it's also like the parameters there within it. While I've been on the phone, I've just looked up the definition. So it's around race, religion, sex, sexual orientation.
So they can't define
that's what I said. That's why I used John as an example. I said Christians. Right. Yeah.
Define hate. So what are they going on about?
So the Attorney General himself couldn't even define hate when he was asked. One at a time. Sorry, Thomas, continue what you're saying.
Europe can't even define it.
No. Thomas, go ahead.
In the school system, if we have, like, that would come under the parameters of bullying. So
of course.
Like, again, if it's repetitive. And if a student is like that, they're given the marching orders. They will not be welcome in our school.
But that's different. That's school policy. That's a different situation. If one student calls another student names or said something really defamatory to another student, of course they get their marching orders. That's the school policy. But it's not illegal. But it's a school policy. And I understand that completely. Maybe even get expelled. Right? Mm. But we're talking about the law here. So I go on, and under the legislation, I have a go at a religious group, which are Christians, John and his Christian buddies. Okay. So John says it's hate speech against my group of people.
So why, like, if we boil this down, do you think then in school, should children be allowed to turn around to a student who, say, from the travel commission, go, I hate you?
No, they shouldn't. They should be dealt with by the principal of the school, and they should be suspended or whatever it is, or get detention for saying something like horrible like that. That's a different, well, that's school policy, but it's not illegal, by the way.
But could the parent of the child turn around and go, well, why are you kicking my child out? Like, I'm able to stand outside the school gate and say, I hate you because you're a traveller.
No, we're talking about, let's deal with adults, Thomas. Forget about, I know you keep coming back to children because you're in a school environment, but those kind of things, they're up to school policy and up to the principal to deal with. We're talking about the law here for people over the age of 18. So I have a go at a community over their religious group, their sexual orientation, whatever it happens to be. And I say, I hate that group and I hate that person. And they take a case against me. Is that fair? Why am I not allowed to say that I hate somebody? It's only an emotion. I could say I love somebody tomorrow when nobody would have an issue with it. It's
like,
an emotion.
It's sort of like, well, what is there any benefit of you saying that you hate?
No, there's no benefit. I wouldn't, Thomas, I wouldn't do something like that. I'm only giving you an example.
No. Yeah. But I
look at stuff people put up online all the time and I go, Jesus, why would you write that? But I wouldn't want to stop them from writing it. Even though some of it is horrendous. People who deny the Holocaust, all sorts of mad stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I would never want to censor them. Because
it's a viewpoint.
Well, it's their viewpoint. They may be mental, but it's their viewpoint. Yeah. I wouldn't want to censor them. Now,
the
only thing that I will agree with, and we've already got laws there for it, Thomas, is incitement to violence. So if I go online and say, I don't like John and I think somebody should go out and kill him, that's incitement to violence. And that's a different kettle of fish. But we've already got laws there for that. We don't need extra laws. We've got laws there that deal with that already.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're just pondering to the EU again. That's what's happening. They're pondering to the EU again. This government has to go. And the people in Ireland have to stand up and put them out. And they can go and stay in Europe.
Okay, so just very quickly before I go to the break. I know where John stands. I don't need to ask him. If there was a vote tomorrow on hate speech laws, Thomas, how would you vote? Yes or no?
I would have to do more research on it.
Okay. All right, well, hold on for a second, lads. John and Thomas, thank you, Kathleen. You might be confused that we're not actually talking about hate speech laws, but they are interlinked to what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the idea that all social media companies should demand that everybody verify their identification. In other words, that you set up an account, be it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, that you must use your driver's license. Somebody texts in, by the way, and says, no, it's not possible. Of course it's possible. When I set up my Revolut account, they demanded that I give them my passport and they scan it. And an hour later, you get verification that it's genuine. So they obviously have some sort of algorithm or some sort of system that can examine your passport. And that's a bank account. I get that. I understand that. And there has to be top security for doing something like that. But equally, you know, a social media account can be equally as important because you can go on there and have a very serious opinion about somebody else that may not be true. So it could be defamation. Should we be allowed to continue what we're doing at the moment, which is allowing people to anonymously post under fake names, fake IP addresses using VPNs, the way it is at the moment? Or should we demand that people use verified accounts and make people responsible for what they said? John makes a good point that it would create a chilling effect on free speech. So people would think twice about what they actually post because they have to be responsible for it. Whereas Thomas says, no, well, that would be up to the courts to decide if we had free speech law or hate speech laws. It would be up to the courts to decide. I want to know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening. Thank you very much.
Martin, well, let's stick with the first point, which is the anonymity for setting up accounts. Do you think that should continue or should we have to verify our identification?
No, I think it should continue. I get both sides of the argument, I really do. But legally, I think a person should be able to set up an account on whatever if they want to call themselves, you know, John Mastermind and he's whatever. That's fine with me. I don't care because at the end of the day, if I look at now, the closest thing I come to, I mean, nearly all social media to me is garbage. I do have YouTube. It's about the only thing it's the closest thing to social media I would use. But the point I would like to make is, if I see something on YouTube, now, like my WhatsApp account, you know my WhatsApp account, you see my actual physical photograph, and you know that that's real because we've met, we know each other. Pardon me. Mm-hmm. And my name is there. It's the same with my email. Now, I won't give who I won't give which email server I use, but my name is there.
Yeah.
My full name, there's no kind of addendums to it. There's nothing. It's just my name at a particular email server. If I'm looking at YouTube and I see something that by, how do I identify this person? I don't know who they are. I might read their comment, but I'm not going to take it seriously. Because if you don't take yourself seriously enough to put out who you are, and in my opinion, apply your image. Now, I know that can also be, that can be false. I understand that. But if you don't at least go to that extent, I'm not going to take anything you have to say particularly seriously. So for me, it comes down to, if I have something I want to say, I will say it. That's who I am. That's where I am. If you disagree with me, reply, do whatever, we get into a discussion or a debate. But free speech is fundamental to all other rights. And the idea of... Absolutely. I entirely agree, John. It's entirely,
I agree with you, Martin. It's an absolute right today, period.
It is.
Sorry, Martin. And,
well, I do want to clarify, it's not a constitutional right in Ireland. We have freedom of expression.
No, it's not a constitutional right.
Yeah,
no, it's not a constitutional right. It's a human right.
Okay.
A God-given right. I have the right to come on and say all kinds of things. I could say, I don't like Niall Boylan. I think Niall Boylan is whatever. I could say all kinds of things. And if I'm not saying something defamatory, if I'm not calling for violent action against you or whatever else, that is my opinion. I am entitled to my opinion. In the same way I'm entitled to my opinion about other religions, you know, I profess Christianity. I can say I think other religions are wrong.
Okay, but Thomas says that if you said something about me, or well... I'm not protected, so to speak, by the law, because the law only protects, you know, sexual characteristics and all those kind of other things, religion, gender. I'm not specifically protected by the law of hate speech. But if you said something about any of those characteristics, like if you were, I don't know, Jewish, and you went online and gave out about John and said he was a Christian and said, I hate all Christians. Thomas's argument is, well, you know, it's up to the court then to decide.
No, it's not up to the court. Not in my opinion, it's not up to the court. It's up to me. If I'm Jewish and someone defames me, it's up to me to go to that person, reply to them, and make a defense of what I am, who I am, what I believe, or whatever else. It's not up to the courts to step in and say, you can't say that, unless you're calling for violence or action against
Well, those laws already exist. Yeah.
Exactly, or state something defamatory. If I am giving an opinion, that is my opinion, I'm entitled to have my
Thomas, opinion. Is it okay to have an opinion that you hate somebody else that. Or hate a group of people or hate a sexual characteristic or a sexual orientation or colour, creed, whatever it is?
Like, I suppose, like, there's certain people in this world that I strongly despise and hate, but I'm not necessarily going to post online, but maybe a happy medium here.
But do you think you should? Okay, you've just admitted there's certain people online that you hate and certain groups that you might hate. Okay, do you think if you wanted to, I'm not saying you will, but if you wanted to, should you not be allowed just to post that online, I hate that specific group? Why not?
Again, as I said, what benefit is it going to
do? Well, you might not think if it's a benefit. Somebody else might think there's a benefit to, you know, getting it off their chest.
No.
I don't agree they should be arrested for it.
I don't think they should be arrested for it.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening, Thomas.
But I suppose maybe, like, because back to, like, the topic of this, should we be verified online? Maybe it's a case of where if the verification process that you are the real person should be easier in terms of faster, that you're not paying for it. So that if I'm posting something that somebody knows that it is Thomas who is posted, that some, like, say, for example, one of my students could go now, take pictures from my page, which happened to a colleague at another school. They took pictures from the teacher's Facebook page and the TikTok. They created a new TikTok page for that teacher and were commenting obscene things. That would, if a parent seen that and going, oh my God, that's that teacher saying this about
you. Yeah, that's wrong. And that's up to TikTok to make sure that doesn't happen, because if people are imitating other people.
Would the happy medium here be that it is easier there for people to get their blue ticks, that it's a fast process, that once I upload my ID, and it has, that's now Thomas's account, that when I put up those stuff, people know that it's genuinely me. Whereas if I put up an account, as I said, that says Thomas and it's hate speech, most people then mightn't even recognize it or might go, oh, sure, that's a bot account. That's not a real account. It might really help with media literacy, because that's what we try to teach students. And maybe adults need to learn a bit of media literacy as well, of going, what is actually real?
Yeah.
What is AI generated? Because
that's getting scary nowadays. It's hard to know what's AI generated anymore, to be honest with you. Sorry, Martin, I just need to go to Kevin as well. Just stay there, Martin, please, just for a second. I've only got about 4 minutes here. Kevin, hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Niall. Yeah, I was just listening and wanted to bring up a point that's kind of been touched on now, but I think I've seen reports that up to 50% or more of X accounts are bots. And this, to me, is creating a lot of problems in our society with arguments because, you know, I'm not on X, but I am on Facebook. And I look at different sites and, you know, they can be argumentative. You know, you look at the comments and you start seeing people go back and forth, and then you click on the profile of the person who's making that landish comment, and it's just a fake account,
just a bot account.
It's a bot account. And you know, I think with, you know, politics in America here in particularly, it's ridiculous because people are at each other's throats and they're arguing. You think you're arguing with a person and you're not even arguing with somebody. And I've heard people making accusations that some of these accounts are, you know, from China or Russia or somebody.
Yeah. Phone farms. Yeah. They're like phone farms. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I think there's also a correlation between social media and mental health issues that I haven't fact checked this, but I would guess.
No, I'm sure there is.
If you look at the amount of
people. But okay, so Kevin, just to get to the crux of it, because I'm very short on time, should people have to verify their identification before joining up?
Absolutely, I do.
Your passport to X or to Facebook?
No problem at all. And if you don't like it, then you just don't have a social media account, because I think
Would that not create a bit of a chilling effect?
The negatives.
Does it not create a bit of a chilling effect on free speech?
I don't think so. I think that free speech can go on. I think I think the positives of doing that outweigh the negatives by a mile.
Niall.
Yeah, sorry, Martin.
Yeah, sorry. Just finally, the point I'd like to make, look, the question about if a person posts something and it's determined to be hate speech, what good is it? Well, I'll tell you from my point of view and my objective, or my perspective rather, is the good it is for me, it shows me where that person is on a particular subject. So if I see them on another subject, I can now correlate what they're saying on this with what they're saying on something else. And I have seen that. There are people in politics in this country on both sides. We have, you know, people talk about the far right. There's a very, very tiny, tiny percentage of people in this country who would be what I determine to be far right. Now, it's only my determination of far right. And the same when it comes to the far left. There are extremes on both sides. But if I see what a person has to say, and they are putting out who they are and what they are, if they say something, it allows me to understand what they're saying, where they're coming from. Whether I agree with it or not is not the issue. I can see what they have to say or hear what they have to say, and I can determine for myself, do I agree with them or do I not? That is the whole purpose of free speech.
Yeah, and see, I'm the same, Kevin. I've seen the most obnoxious, hate-driven, hate-filled stuff, particularly on Twitter.
Yeah.
I can choose to just ignore it. Do you understand what
exactly.
I'm saying?
But I
don't care who's posting it.
You get a level of anxiety just reading through the comments on it. It's just like, oh God, what does our world come to?
I get that. By the way, when it comes to bots, that's up to Elon Musk and his team to sort that problem out. You know, to come to some way of sorting that out through algorithms.
He's the one who's actually said it. He said, there's 50 to 80% of the of the social media profiles aren't even real people, they're bots.
Yeah, well, he knew that when he bought it, because it was like that when he bought it in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he did a great service, you know, because I also think that free speech is hugely important. And we were going, when they were censoring it all, it was going down a really bad...
Oh, yeah. It was like Lefty City, for God's sake, at one stage, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, yeah. It was making it up, it was becoming obsolete. And, you know, you say what you want about Elon Musk, he's a bit of an oddball, but I totally agree with him on that issue. Mm. I'm glad he did it. I think he saved...
I just hope he doesn't sell it again. Then we're all in trouble. Well, look, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Martin, Thomas, John, Kevin, listen, thank you very much indeed, all of you.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.